9 kids. But of course, there wasn't always 9 kids because I'm the oldest. So there was a time when there was 3 or 4 of us. And I remember distinctly as a young kid, my dad was still on staff at a church there. And we would have people over for dinner. And there was one thing that we were supposed to do while we had people over for dinner, and that was behave ourselves, you know? Now, if any of you have come from a big family, you know that one of the things that happens when you have people over is a kid's table. And you set up this little tiny table, and you shove all the kids to that table, and you go have a real nice adult conversation, right? Well, this had happened this night, and my brother and I were sitting at the table. And one of the rules in my family was that we were not allowed to call each other bad names. We just wrestled and punched each other and stuff like that. We weren't allowed to call each other bad names. We weren't allowed to call each other stupid. And so this particular night, my brother and I are sitting at this kid's table, and we got in a little spat about something. I don't know what it was. And I definitely called him stupid. And so you probably guess what happened after that, because my dad heard. And so we went into the bedroom for some biblical correction. And I can tell you, but before I go any farther, I can tell you that all growing up, my mom did a very good job, even before we were in elementary school, of teaching us the gospel. Yes, you might say, you know, you don't understand it. You're not old enough to understand it. Yeah, she knew that. But she also knew that we were going to start being familiar with the story, being familiar with the consequences and the different details of the story and what it meant to us. So I can tell you, as I went into that bedroom and I got what I deserved, and one of the things that my parents were really good at was afterwards, we would talk about it. We would say, why did this happen? What are we going to do better next time? And what I realized that night with my dad, sitting there on the bed with my dad, I made the connection. Disobeying my dad equals getting punished. Disobeying my God, which is a lot more important, equals going to hell. And so right then and there, I said, you know what, Dad, I don't want to go to hell. And I know that I've sinned and I'm going to go to hell. And I knew what to do. I'd heard the story many, many times. I knew what to do and I knew what I was doing. And so right then and there, my dad and I kneeled up on the floor next to the bed, and I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior. That was at the age of 4 years old. Now, some of you might say, you know, that was too young, and obviously you're going to struggle. And I would say, as a teenager, there was times where I thought about struggling with my salvation. There was times where I thought about, you know, maybe I'm not saved because I got saved at such a young age. But the reality is, Scripture tells us that when we choose to accept him as our Savior, we accept his gift of salvation into our hearts, there's no need to doubt because we already know what he did. Scripture tells us exactly what he did. He took our sins and he washed them white as snow. And he took on himself the burden of our sin. And that's what he did for me that night. Growing up, I told you a couple different stories from my growing up years this morning. Well, as I grew up, you know, we played sports. We did all sorts of things with my brothers in our backyard. There, I remember one time it had flooded. And so there was just deep enough where in the backyard where we took our snow sleds and we went canoeing on the backyard. That was fun until we realized that we were getting all sorts of bugs and stuff all over the place. That was not fun. But we had little adventures like that all throughout our growing up years. And as I grew up, my mom was always telling me, you know what, Andrew, you'd be a really good pastor. Andrew, you're really good at taking care of your younger siblings. I think you'd be a really good pastor. So as I got to college age, I began thinking, you know what, I think I want to be a pastor. So in my college choices, I was thinking about going to Bible school to be a pastor. Now, in this time, some of the guys, if you were at the Men's Alliance on Thursday night, you know what happens next. As a teenager, I was invited by a friend of mine to go down to Texas to an installation called ALERT. It's Airland Emergency Resource Team. And so what these people do is they train young men to become first responders from a Christian point of view, and they use different basic training type ideas. They have styled their basic training after the Marines, although they don't have weapons and it's not nearly as intense. But it is there. They did style it after them. And so I went with my friend. And it was something, I laughed at him, and then I went. And I paid to get myself yelled at and all sorts of stuff, and sat there and had them buzz my hair off. And I walked back to the barracks and looked at myself in the mirror and almost screamed in terror because I didn't know who was staring at me in the face. And some of those things that I experienced during that time have made me who I was. There was times where I was put in positions of leadership that I necessarily didn't really want, but I was put in those positions of leadership and made to realize that, you know, leadership comes with responsibility. Leadership oftentimes comes with responsibility that most people don't see. I remember one night where I told this story to the guys, but maybe you ladies would like to hear this too. There was one night when we were out at what we called Survival Week, and it was where they threw us out in tents, and we camped out, and we had to find our own food. We had to go hunting and fishing and those kinds of things. We never found anything hunting because all we had was sharp sticks, but we did go fishing. And then they would hand us live animals to kill and eat for dinner. And during one of those nights, a senior drill instructor walked into my campsite and yelled out my name. I had to come crawling out of my tent. And he put me in a group with some other guys from my platoon. There was about four or five of us. And he stood there and he looked at us and he said, "Guys, you men have been chosen as leadership in your squads." This was not an authoritative position, but what he meant was that they were looking at us to perform higher, to be an example to those that were around us, to really be responsible for the actions of the squad. So he proceeded on this long explanation of what we were supposed to do, and the fact that they had chosen us showed that we had showed some leadership capabilities and some responsibility and all of that. And after he got done flattering us, he put us on the ground and made us do 100 push-ups. And really what his point was that, yes, leadership might come with the name, might come with some good stuff, but it really comes with more responsibility. And it comes with more hard work. And I found that out because most of the guys in my squad wanted to be the leader. And they would come up to me and say, "Andrew," or "Holloway," that's what they called me. "Holloway, I don't know why they chose you as a leader, because I think I would do better than you." I was like, "Oh, well, you know, that's fine. But I didn't choose this position for myself." And I think during those times there, I learned a lot about being a part, being a leader, understanding what it was. And honestly, to be very honest with you, when I left, I wanted no part of that. But the Lord continued to work in my heart. And the next fall, I had to make the decision between going back to work, and I wanted to become a police officer. So I was going to go back through them and then maybe become a police officer in Texas, or go to Bible college. And so I made the decision because I still wanted to be a pastor after I decided I didn't want to be a leader. You can talk to me about that later. I don't know why I didn't make that connection, but... So I still wanted to be a pastor, and so I went to Bible college. And I went there one semester. I went to a college in Tennessee called Crown College. And this college was a great experience for me. I got to play collegiate soccer. We didn't win. I think we won like one game, but that's neither here nor there. I had a lot of great opportunities for experience, for learning, for all sorts of things. But one of the things that I realized during my learning was that I didn't know if this was really what I wanted to do. I realized it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. I was doing what my mom wanted me to do. Because my mom had said so much, "Andrew, I think you should be a pastor." And so that had been ingrained in my life. And so then the next semester I spent at home. I realized there was several things that I didn't like about that college. So I left it, and I knew I was going to go to a different college. And I was thinking about changing my degrees. So I stayed home and I worked, and I worked off some debt that I had towards that college. And thank the Lord, he enabled me to be able to pay off all of that debt so that when I moved on, I would be debt-free. Something else he did was I was a youth sponsor at my church. And during this time, I was starting to get the feeling of, you know what, you know, I was probably about 19 at this point, and I wasn't even a freshman in college yet, because the credits that I had taken from that college weren't going to transfer to any other college. I was 19 and not even a freshman in college, and I said, God, what are you doing to me? I really think that I should be farther along in my timeline here. I really think I should be a little bit farther along doing some things, you know, getting farther along in college so I can be in ministry. And at this point, we had a gentleman come in who was going to run a 3-on-3 basketball tournament outreach program in our youth group. So I was one of the helpers for that, and we got to help set it up and ref it. And he preached at the end. We fed him pizza, and I actually got the opportunity to lead 3 young people to the Lord. And it was a really, really cool opportunity. I love every minute of it. And the next Sunday, he was still at our church, and he presented that Sunday night kind of like his mission, his heart for what he was doing. One of the things I will never forget was that he was standing up there showing us a slideshow. And he said something to the effect of, you know, the biggest chance that people have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ is when they're 13 and younger. And he showed this graph that was percentage chances to accept the Lord that progressively got worse and worse as individuals got older. And he continued to present his ministry and present how he wanted to reach young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had been talking to my dad before this about, you know, what am I going to do? What's something that the Lord can use me in? At the end of that service, I stood up and turned around because I was sitting on the front row. And I turned around and looked at my dad, and he was looking straight at me. And I walked over him, and I was like, "You think what I'm thinking?" He's like, "Yep, I'm thinking what you're thinking." And so I decided that I wanted to be involved in young people. Young people's ministries, youth ministries. That was the major that I took. I went to Maranatha because my brother was going there, and so I wanted to go visit. And so I visited, and I immediately fell in love with what was going on there. I loved the fact that the young people that were there seemed vibrant and on fire for the Lord. I loved the fact that the professors and the different coaches and people that I talked to wanted to help me, regardless of whether I chose to go there or not. I promise I'm not going to give a Maranatha spiel, because I could very easily do that, because I traveled for them for several years. We'll get to that. But as I went there, the Lord really worked in my heart. And he began to show me that maybe this leadership thing really was for me. I had a different idea of it, because I had been thinking all about myself. You know, maybe this is harder on myself, so I don't think I want to do it because it's about me. And I began to realize it's not about me anymore. It's not about who I am or what my capabilities are or what I can accomplish. And I began to realize that very, very quickly as I got to Maranatha. They do a really good job of throwing you into leadership opportunities. And I had just picked up the trombone. And so I wanted to play in the band. And I will tell you, there was a girl in the band that I liked, and so I wanted to be in the band as well, so that might be a little bit a part of it. But I jumped into the band, and I started playing, and I was not very good. But the director gave me a chance, and I played third trombone for the second semester of my freshman year. Now, that director kind of retired, and my choir director actually took over the band. I was also in choir. And he came to me right before I was supposed to leave after my freshman year. He's like, "Andrew, what do you think about being president of the band next year?" And I was like, "I'm a sophomore. Also, I'm not very good at my instrument. Why are you asking me?" And long story short, I ended up accepting it. And I had to realize that this wasn't about my ability to play a musical instrument. It wasn't about how old I was. It was about the fact that he trusted me to organize things and run things for him. The president of the band was really just his secretary that ran stuff for him so that he didn't have to do it. And that's not a knock on him. It was really a smart decision, because he had a lot of kids to control. But we ran on a tour, a week-long tour, and I had to be in charge of a lot of things. I even had to create a big notebook for every kid to have. And that was such a good experience for me because I realized that this was a lot of fun. I love doing this. I was old enough because I was an older student. So I was old enough to start driving the school vans. So I got to do those for choirs. And the summer after my freshman year, I went to Camp Ironwood down in Western California. Now, some of you teens might have remember going there. Some of you that were teens at that point might remember going there. I was a counselor down there for a year, or not a year, a summer. That would be a long time. Anyways, I was a counselor down there for a summer, and I was also an intern. So we got the chance to talk with a lot of different pastors who came through. And in my discussions with pastors, I realized that I really did have an opinion on how I thought youth ministry should be run. I had an opinion about how I thought churches should be run. Some of those things were right, some of those things were wrong, and I had to learn a lot of lessons. One of the things that was really neat that we did was that we traveled around on the weekends and visited different churches and talked to pastors, talked to them about their theology, talked to them about the positions where they had put their church, talked to them about the organization of their church. Sometimes we even talked about why they chose to put their nursery in this room, why they chose to set their auditorium up in a certain way. It was a really, really neat experience. It kind of shaped how I was going to start viewing churches. And this was kind of really the start of visiting many, many different churches. So as I began to start taking more tours, each year my choir toured and each year the band toured, and I was in the band almost every semester. And I began to visit church after church after church after church, and I absolutely loved ministering in these churches. Whether it was part of a choir or part of the band, sometimes we got to teach Sunday school or even preach to the youth group or stuff like that. It was a lot of fun, and I absolutely loved it. But these were some responsibilities that I began to be able to take over because I was beginning to be one of the upperclassmen. So as a junior in college, I got to be in charge of what we called the advanced team. And we thought we were really cool and we were all that. But really what it was is I drove a van that had all the equipment in it, and we arrived before everybody else and threw it in the church. That's really what happened. But we thought we were really cool. But the thing was, is it gave me another level of responsibility, another level of looking and even talking to pastors, because it was my job to call ahead and tell the pastors when we were supposed to arrive. And it was my job as the team leader to be there to discuss with the pastor the different things and make sure he was okay with us moving things and talking with him and just making him feel at home with our team, moving stuff around, making sure everything was okay. This gave me a lot of comfortability with talking to the pastors and even learning from them. And at this point, this was when Caleb gave me a call, and he said, "Hey, we have this internship." Actually, this was about around the time where I met Pastor Randy over at the school, and it was right after Caleb gave me a call and said, "Hey, we have this internship opportunity. I think you would be really good for it, and I think you should come out." And I said, "That sounds really good, but no." I didn't really say that. I was nice about it. But I had this other thing I wanted to do. The school had just started a men's traveling team, a men's quartet, and I really, really, really wanted to travel on it. And so I got on the team as the high tenor. I will not exhibit that for you right now, but I got on the team as the high tenor, and we were getting ready to travel, and all of a sudden we heard the news that our team leader had to pull out. And this was December. We were starting our training in February, January, February. And I got a call from the guy who's putting our team together, and he said, "Hey, we'd really like you to be the team leader." And at this point, I'd already signed the contract to travel. So I was like, "Well, I'm already traveling. Might as well be the team lead." That was the worst decision. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was a really good decision, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And so as I went through that summer, I organized and talked with many different pastors. We visited over 80, maybe 90 churches that summer. I talked with every pastor. We sang in the churches. I got to preach every night, almost every night. And actually, The Nahum 1:7 message that I preached for the Senior Saints Luncheon, that one comes from that summer. But the experience there was invaluable. As a leader of the team, as a preacher, as even just talking with people, I can tell you that changed who I was, and even changed what I was looking for in a church. So after that summer, I went into my senior year, and Caleb called me again when I got back, and he said, "Hey, we have the internship available again, and you're the only guy we're looking at right now. I think you should really come." And I said, "Okay, I'll come." And so we planned that out, and we were getting ready to come, and all of a sudden COVID hit. And I showed up here, and to come to find out, I began to realize that I wasn't going to get to do junior day camp. I wasn't going to get to do VBS ministries. But little did I know that really what was going to happen was what I really needed, which was learning about how to make critical decisions. You know, Pastor Randy and Pastor Caleb and I sat in the office many days and just talked. Talked about decisions that we had to make. I gave the example in another meeting where there was a decision we had to make because a mandate came down from the governor, and we didn't know what it was. All we knew was rumors. And so we had to make a decision whether or not we're going to have church. And I remember Randy standing there and telling us, this is what we should do, and here's why I'm going to do this, and here's how I came to that conclusion. And that was huge for me, because I was beginning to realize that what I wanted in a pastor, in a church, was someone who was going to take me under their wing and teach me how to lead, teach me how to make those right decisions, teach me how to do that kind of stuff. And so that was huge, and I learned so much over that summer. And we actually left saying, you know what, I was going back to grad school at Maranatha, and we were saying, you know, in 2 years we're going to come back, and maybe we'll hire you. That'd be cool. And I said, yeah, I would love that. You know, I absolutely loved my summer here, and I was ready to come back. I didn't know what those 2 years held for me. But the next summer, as I went through, the next summer, I actually had a pretty rough breakup with a girlfriend as I was traveling with another men's team. And really what the reason it was rough for me was, and I began to realize this, was not necessarily because I was breaking up with a girl, but it was because I was realizing that I was losing my chance to be a pastor. Especially to be a pastor at Temple Baptist Church, if I'm going to be very honest with you. Because the thing is, I had traveled over so many different churches. I would stand in front of you today and see, because of my repping experience, traveling with music teams, all sorts of things, I've been in hundreds of different churches all over the United States. And this church had something for me that I had never seen in any other church. So for me, that was a goal. That was something that this is a place that I wanted to be. And so I had to make the painful phone call to Caleb and say, you know what, this just happened. I think we're gonna have to move on. I'm okay if you go look for other people. And he promptly said, "We're sorry to hear that, but if you have any suggestions, you can go ahead and send them my way." I never sent him any suggestions, but so we began to move on from there. And to be honest with you, I felt like that was the end for me. I felt like that was my last chance. I was 25, and I felt like I was too old for any of the girls at college to consider me anymore. I felt like I was going to be a single guy for the rest of my life, so I needed to change my focus of ministry and try to figure out where I was going to go now. So I started thinking about camp ministry. Started thinking about going after that side. And as I got back, I started to notice this beautiful blonde that was running around doing stuff. She was new to the college, and she seemed very talented. I remember we played Ultimate Frisbee. It was just a bunch of graduate assistants. None of the other students were on campus at that point. And we were playing, and we would play almost every week, even two or three times a week. We had a lot of fun. And so when school started and all students came up, they did a Ultimate Frisbee tournament. And the year before, I had been on a team that was very similar to the team that we had got together for this Ultimate Frisbee tournament. And we had been going along, and there had been a team that had run in full of basketball players that we had got to the final, and they got in somehow, they just whooped up on us in the final, and we were not very happy about that. So we decided this year we are going to win the Ultimate Frisbee Tournament. So I remember I was very pumped out about it. You probably remember that. We were like, we need to win this tournament. And I remember there was one time where we had enough people that I was standing on the sidelines as a sub, and someone throws the Frisbee out, and Kayla comes out of nowhere, bodies a guy that's my size off of the Frisbee, and jumps up and catches it. And I think that's the moment that I fell in love with her. But at this point, you know, I figured I'm wanting to be a pastor. I'm wanting to be somewhere that I believe that God's called me to be and do the task that God has prepared me to do through all the different experiences that he's given me, like repping, talking with all sorts of students all across the United States. And here is this girl that I was starting to fall in love with that was a scientist. And for me, I was like, there's no way that can be a couple. God's not going to put that together. But very slowly and very shortly, he did. As I left for my travels, it kind of seemed impossible that we were going to get to know each other because I was pretty much gone the entire year. But the Lord orchestrated, you could talk to either one of us, and I think you'd say, how did you get together? Well, it was the Lord. It really was. And he began to orchestrate our relationship together and put us together and brought us into places together. And we began to, we dated, actually before we dated, I had bought a car at my house in Michigan, and we were starting to think about dating. We were very, very interested in each other. And so I came up to her and I said, hey, what do you think about flying home with me and then driving my new car back, the 6-hour drive to Maranatha? We weren't even dating yet. And somehow, some reason, she said, yes, let's do it. And so we did that. It was our first date, a 2-hour plane ride and a 6-hour car drive. It was great. I love it. I loved it. I don't know if you did, but I did. and from there on, the Lord continued to be very evident in our relationship. And so we got engaged. You can hear that story from us later. I won't take the time to tell it right now. But we got engaged, and God began to continue moving in our lives. And I was starting to think, I was graduating in May, and I had no job opportunities. You know, obviously, I had a thought in my back of my head because I had a trip out to Washington, and there was a certain church that I was going to go visit, and I was hoping that the pastors would say, hey, why don't you think about coming? Well, I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to say anything. And so as I was praying, and I said, Lord, please give me some job opportunities. What I really should have said was, Lord, please give me a church to work in, because he gave me several job opportunities, several different churches. Even at one point, I said that I was looking for some alternative things to minister in, and there had been an opportunity at a camp in Louisiana that was starting a traveling team, and they wanted me to come travel for them. And so when Kayla and I were getting close to getting engaged, they offered to take us on as a couple. And we were thinking, the Lord very clearly kind of just led us away from that. There was another opportunity that seemed really, really good with a church in Indiana that I had known, I'd grown up knowing, and it was almost like, it was like this really cool thing to be a pastor on their staff. But the Lord also continued to move me away from that church. I wanted to go back to Maranatha and work for them as Kayla finished out her degree. And the Lord very quickly shut those doors and continued to move on, and he continued to make it very evident that even though it seemed like Temple Baptist Church was way off in the other corner of the United States, and far away from my family, from her family, but it seemed like the Lord continued to lead us closer to here. And I tell you that because we stand here tonight, having almost finished a week of candidating, the Lord has very evidently led in our lives to be here. And we, Kayla and I, are very excited about the opportunity that is here as the Lord leads. We're very excited about the responsibilities that he's going to give us. If we are called to hear, we are very excited about how he's going to use our past experiences to be a blessing to you folks, to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with in the community, to be a blessing to those who are who are in our neighborhood. We're very excited about that opportunity. We're very excited about what the Lord's doing. So I've given you kind of it doesn't sound brief, but it was kind of a brief overview of different things in my life. If you have questions about some of the stuff that I experienced, or if you feel like I left out of detail, I'd be happy to talk to you after the service. If you want to hear a little bit about Kayla's testimony, I'm sure she would love to share it. If you come stop by with us later as we do the cookie and coffee fellowship. But we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. I just want to thank you so much for the time here. Thank you so much for taking an interest in us. We've had so many different really, really good conversations with you folks, and we're looking forward to how the Lord is going to lead in our lives and in the church as well. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your evident working in my life and in our lives and in this church. I pray that you would continue to show your word, your work, and your willingness to provide in our lives. I pray that you would help guide our conversations and our fellowship tonight as we do that. And as we go our separate ways, would you continue to work in our lives and bring us closer to you in your name. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been great to have you guys here this week. It's been a full